Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you're hearing sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, the pastor of Grace Point Church. In this episode, you'll hear Pastor Ben Hill continue his series, Transformed, Living an Inverted Life. This is part three. Let's listen in.
For that, it is good to be here. We are continuing our series of Transformed. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. And about living an inverted life. This is the penultimate sermon. That's the next to the last sermon in the series. And so I'm excited about that. So Ephesians chapter number 4. And we'll begin reading, or we'll be looking at verses 17 through 24. 17 through 24.
Yes. Now it is. Praise the Lord.
All right. Remember, this is our core, my little children, for whom I again am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is what? Formed in you. If you remember, we've looked at that word, and there are two main words in the Greek language that are transformed into English form. One is scarpe, and that is formation that takes place with pressure on the outside. It's what the potter will do to the clay in forming a vessel. The other is the word morphe, and that is where we get our English word metamorphosis. And that's what happens where a change takes place on the inside until it works its way to visibility on the outside. And last week we looked at a time-lapse video of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And we see how that process took place. That's transformation. Listen. You and I, as children of God, need to be conscious of the reality that once we were born again, guess what? God saved us and didn't leave us on our own. What did He do? He put Himself inside of us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you and me as children of God. And then that needs to be, the process needs to happen of the metamorphosis that takes place as He begins to take more and more and more control over all that we are. Okay? And the us and the me and the we get pushed out of the way and He becomes more and more visible. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're looking at. Living this life of the inverted life. Living from the inside out. Sermon number 3. Remember last week it was a... just had a brain cramp.
A change thing.
Thank you. Now this is a challenge thing. Thank you very much for note takers. Amen? Choose to be different. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. If you're there, say amen.
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 That was really good.
Okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt throughout through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's an issue that you and I need to look at. It is a challenge thing. The challenge then comes to you and to me. After we've been born again, how do we appropriate that which God has already given us? Listen, if we say, God, you need to give me this. God, please give me that. God, please give me that. In terms of the character of living and Christian living, we need to stop asking Him because He's already given us all that He can give us. He's given us Himself. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, if you have God, what more do you need? Right? If the Holy Spirit truly is in residence inside of you and inside of me, why do we keep looking for something external to satisfy what we need? I'm here to tell you we have all we need. We have Him.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's that selfish nature. Oh, boy. We're going to look at that for just a little bit. So what I want us to see is in this challenge thing, choosing to be different, three axioms of transformation in Christ. Three truths, three axioms, three established realities that will help in understanding the transformation that takes place in Christ. Are you with me? First one, what's old is old. What's old is old. I heard that. I just said, Mom. Wow. Okay. Yeah, what's old is old. All right. First thing, then look at verse number 17 again. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You no longer walk as you were before. Because now you are in Christ, so you no longer need to walk like you did before. So what does that mean? Well, not walk before, what's the old is the weak-minded. Okay, in the futility of their minds. What does it mean to be weak-minded? Well, notice a word there in that verse that talks about that they did because of their ignorance. You see that in verse 18? They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in him. What does ignorance mean?
Don't know.
Unaware.
Being unwise. In other words, it means ignorance means not knowing something, right? Not knowing something. A lot of times we use the word incorrectly, and we say somebody's ignorant because they're not bright. That's not necessarily true. Ignorance means not knowing something, right? There are a lot of things that I'm ignorant of, right? You want to start talking about
calculus.
I am ignorant, buddy. Let me tell you, absolutely, right? Because there's not the knowledge there. I don't know. And listen, the weak-minded, they're weak-minded because they are ignorant of the truth, the futility of their minds. But then also weak-moral. Go back to verse 18 again. Look what it says. If I can find it. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Listen, if you are living as the old person, if you are still in the old and that you have not been born again, either one, you live weak morally. Why? Because you're living what? You're living according to your own sinful nature, right? How many of you have once you were born again, no longer have the capacity to sin? Anybody? Okay, I'm sure glad hands didn't go up because I'd be like, oh, we need a doctrinal class quickly, right? We wish we no longer had the propensity to sin. But listen, Paul even said that in everything he is subject to, the fallacies of the old flesh. Listen, the carnality that is in you and the carnality that is in me, the flesh that is in us, still strives to be dominant. Still tries to be. In other words, the old man doesn't go away. The old man struggles to regain footing and to be prominent in your life. Okay? That's why we need to work on the transformation. In other words, allowing Christ to become who he is inside of us. Getting us out of the way so that he might fill the void. Okay? So that's axiom number one. What's old is old. Axiom number two, what's true is true. Look at verses 20 and 21 again. But that is not the way you learned Christ. That is not the way you learned Christ. What does that mean, you learned Christ? If you know him, you learned differently than what the world taught. If you know Christ, you learn of him differently than what the world says of him. Remember our Easter series, Who Do You Say I Am? Listen, the Holy Spirit of God interprets the person of Christ in you and to you, so that you might hear and understand and recognize who he is. What's true is true. If we know Christ, we learned different. We learned him to be different. We learned in him that life is different. There is something else besides the old man. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so listen. In him, we... Now notice the capitalization there. I put that emphasis there on purpose. In him, we what?
Are.
Are different. Now, somebody look at me.
Are.
Everybody. Not somebody, everybody. Okay? All right. Let me ask you this question candidly. Do you sense oftentimes in your life that you still live according to the flesh? Okay? I'm not asking you to tell on yourself, I'm just asking you to think. Okay? So do we still live according to the flesh? So when you do that, as we're prone to do, do you then feel like a failure? Anybody? Do you feel like, man, I've done it again? I don't know about you, but man, I do. I'm like, Lord, I did it again. And he just kind of says, yes, I know. I agree. That's confession. I agree. All right? But listen, what we need to understand is if the butterfly comes out of the chrysalis and hangs out and flies around, what if that butterfly suddenly feels like, you know what, I feel sort of caterpillarish. I think I'll just climb back in there. Does that happen? No, why? Because the butterfly has been transformed from the inside out. So in other words, even though he may feel like he's still caterpillar, he cannot be caterpillar because he has been changed. Now look at me, child of God. There are times when you and I will fail in terms of living the pure life and the life that we're supposed to live. There are times when we will slide back into the carnality of sin, self, and flesh. There are times when things like that take place. But I want you to understand something. Even when that happens, you are still the child of God. You are still changed. Why? Because you no longer live alone, because God has put himself in you, so the Holy Spirit resides in you. You are fundamentally changed. We are different people. Mm-hmm. And that's big. We are different. Why? Because God has said it. In him, we are different. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Listen, you have come to him, and he has forgiven you. And if you know him as Lord and Savior, he has put himself, the person of God, in the form of the Holy, in the person of the Holy Spirit, now resides inside of you, and so that you are fundamentally different. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. What's true is true. Here's what it means. Jesus is Lord. Four keys then from Matthew's Gospel 11, 28 through 30. In living in him. All right? Key number one, salvation. Notice what it said. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, there is no way to God the Father but through God the Son. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Yeah. There is no way to salvation and freedom from a life of sin except through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he says, come to me, those of you who are special, and I'll give you rest, right? You know what he says?
No.
Come to me, those who look right.
No.
Come to me, those who dress right.
No.
Come to me, those who act right.
No.
Come to me, those who smell right. Right? No, that's not what it says, does it? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. If you ever feel burdened, you feel burdened under the weight of sin, then you can come to the Father.
Amen.
Through the Son, Jesus Christ. And I will give you rest. So that's what's true is true. Jesus is Lord. Salvation is in him. Another key to living in him is service. Notice what it says. Take my yoke upon you. Now, what is a yoke? It is not the yellow thing in the middle of the egg in this reference, okay? What is the yoke?
It's a sort of wooden being that's put on oxen and oxen to pull a cart.
Absolutely. It is a wooden beam, a wooden structure. I don't know what you call that. It's like a collar that it put on oxen, and it's used to pull the cart, a wagon. So in other words, it's a tool that's placed on and around the neck and on the shoulders of a beast of burden, right? For the purpose of doing what? Pulling the cart or whatever, or the plow or whatever it is. In other words, to be about the process of acting and serving at the behest of whom? The one holding the
reins.
So at the behest of the master, that bird, that beast is a bird, is burdening, if you will, or serving to accomplish something. So listen, the easy believism of this century is not what the whole gospel is all about. In other words, if we are being changed, if we are being transformed, then there's a lot less about me, 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 and my, and a whole lot more about him, and them. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So serving. You cannot be a growing Christian without getting more and more accustomed to serving others. Because that's what we're called to do. All right, number three. Another key is schooling. Hello, how many of you love school? Nerds, curve busters, all of you. I love school.
I do.
All right. I was a great student. I tried to be as absent as possible. Right? The schooling thing. Yeah. But notice what he says. He says, learn from me. Now who's speaking here? What color are the letters in your Bible?
Red.
Red. So who's speaking?
Jesus.
Now notice what he says. Learn from me. Look in here real close, okay? I may think sometimes I can do a little bit good in teaching. But you know what I realize? Anything that I can teach you is absolutely worthless. Because what you need to hear is from Him. The only value in the teaching that you hear from this platform, this pulpit, this area, the only value in it at all is when it comes from Him.
Amen.
So look at me. I know I keep saying that, but just do it anyway. Look at me. This that you hold in your hands or on your phone or however you got it, this is the Word of God. It is His instruction to you. It's His communication of love and instruction for you. And then the only way to fully become comfortable in your knowledge, your belief, your understanding of Him is to get to know Him through His Word. Have I told you lately?
Amen.
The success of the Christian life is found in the quiet time with Jesus each and every day. Get in His Word. Boy, you want to be transformed, you need to get in His Word. Guess what? I have dreamed often of being of having a beach body.
I'm sorry.
You know, I remember as a kid when I was so skinny and scrawny. I know it's hard to believe. Just look at Daniel. You'll figure it out. When I was so skinny and scrawny, I used to look on the back of the comic books, and they had these promises that if you just order this deal, you won't. The bullies won't be able to knock over your sandcastle. Anybody remember those ads on the back of the comic book?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can order that stuff. You know, the Atlas guy or whatever. You know, it's like, listen. But I'm only here to tell you something. I may have dreamed of it, but it's only been a dream. You know why? You know why? Yeah. I love stuff. And my wife cooks. Right?
It's not her fault, trust me. Because even if she didn't cook, I'd find a drive-through. Amen?
And here's the point. Okay? All right? I cannot expect the results that I want unless I'm willing to invest the time in the process of learning what it would take and then doing that which is necessary to become, you know what I mean? Shorter arms,
Oh, push back from the table, yeah, I hear you. I do my five spoke curls or five prong curls, right? All right, so learn from me. So listen, there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut to being transformed. There's not a magic transformation pill. It takes time, and diligence, and faithfulness in the Word in order to be who He's called us to be. And then the fourth one, satisfaction. Notice what it says, you will find rest for your
soul.
Notice what it doesn't say. It does not say you will find rest for your body, does it? Guess what? There is no promise that you'll get to rest physically. That's tough, isn't it? There's no promise that life is going to find its way to Easy Street. There's no promise that there won't be trials, tribulations, turmoil, and all the other stuff. But even in the midst of us, in the midst of it, if you understand that He's Lord, if you understand the keys of living in Him, and you allow Him to transform you by letting Him become who He is in you, then you will find rest for your souls. And even in the tiredness of the physical things that happen in life, even in the emotional pain and tiresomeness that happens in your life, you will still find the peace that passes understanding because you'll find rest in Him regardless of the circumstance. Read Philippians if you don't think Paul understood that. Amen? All right. What's old is old. What's true is true. Third and finally, somebody say, yay!
Yay!
What's new is new. What's new is new. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll get there. That's where you're supposed to put sticky tabs so you can turn back to the scripture. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. You with me? To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So what's new is new. All right? What do? Well, first of all, in order to understand the newness, there's something you must do. You must first, or we must first, put off something. Verse 22, what does it say? We are to put off old self. Put off old self. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to put off old self? Look at Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Paul says there's nothing good in the flesh in me. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So to put off something, it's not just saying, I'm going to put off name your sin. Boy, that got rid of this quietest room you've been all morning. All right? Anger, pride, deception. All right? You want to know what people look at? The smoking and the drinking and dancing and all that stuff. Right? It's more than just doing that. What do you put off? Paul says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So what do you put off?
Everything.
No. Put off dependence on yourself to do what you think you need to do. Listen. I'm going to fail 100% of the time eventually if I'm depending on my own strength to get it done. Right? So I put off the old man. I put off my dependence on the flesh. I put off my the things that I did beforehand. Okay?
Right? You guys know my testimony. You know that I'm a recovering alcoholic addict and all that stuff. Listen, when I got sober, I didn't hang out in the bars anymore.
Amen.
Why? Because I had to put that off. Yes?
Yes.
Listen, when you become a child of God and you want to be what He's called you to be, when that transformation starts taking place, what do you have to put off? You put off dependence on yourself and the ability to hang around and do the things that you used to do.
Amen.
You put it off.
You have to change people.
Change people, places, and things. There you go. So you put off something. Not only you put off something, but you put in something. Notice verse 23. Boy, this was a subtle thing that jumped out at me and screamed at me. Look at verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So you put in something. What? The renewal of your minds. So look at me. Can I just give you this? This is not doctrine. This is just my opinion. So everybody look in here. I believe the best thing you can put in this instance, is the simple knowledge and guarantee that God is able.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
Renew your mind. You feel discouraged? God's able. God's able. I do not have to succumb to this discouragement. You feel oppressed? God is able. They may oppress. They may abuse. But hallelujah, I belong to the one who will see it through to the end. And I don't have to fear.
Amen.
Are you with me? Yeah, you don't have to. Why? Renew in the mind the reality that He is who He says He is. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, I must depend on understanding Him for me to fully understand what's right and wrong.
Amen.
Because guess what? If I just rely on my own fleshly instinct to tell me what's right and wrong, I am going to mess up. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to choose wrong. But hallelujah, renew my mind. Guess what? There is nothing in this life that I could possibly face that is over and above and outside the realm of the reality that God is able.
Amen.
No matter what. Put off something, put in something, and then finally, put on something. Get dressed. Are you with me? Look at verse 24. Put on something. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The good stuff. All right? Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So I started thinking about that new. I started thinking about what this means. I'm in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Remember what the old was? I put off the old man. I put off the old dependence on self. Right? So then what am I putting on? I'm putting on the understanding and the reality that He is in control, right? That's what I get when I put in something, that understanding. And then how does it work its way? This is big to me. What I'm putting on is the image of God in Christ Himself. Put on the armor and do all those things. But guess what? You know what that means? Now look at me. This is fun. The new man has always been here. Because in the garden, God created them, man and woman. He created them. He created them in how? Their own
image.
It's always been, but what's happened? It's been marred and stained by the fallen sin nature. Because of the fall in the garden, the sin that's been passed on. So that what you have seen in the past is the me that's been scarred
and tainted and colored by self, by flesh. So when I am now a new creation, I don't grow new legs, new arms, new heart, all that good stuff. No. What happens is that the lordship that sin has had in my heart is now removed, so that now Christ, the Lord, the Spirit of God, takes up residence on the throne of my life. He is now in charge, and the process begins to take place of transformation, where all the me, the stuff, all the ugly is being chipped away more and more and more and more and more, so that it's still the same me, hallelujah, but now that me is dominated by the reality that He's in me, and now you can see Him instead of me.
Amen.
I think that made sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
How cool is that? A whole lot cooler than it is in this room.
Amen.
One more week, y'all. One more week. Okay? All right? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So here's the reality. Guess what? See, it's a change thing. Because first of all, it was a Christ thing, right? So then it's Christ, because it's all about Him. So then there's a change in Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? Till Christ is formed in me. It's a Christ thing. It's a change thing. In other words, the transformation, that process, inside out, begins to work its way when I allow myself to be embraced by and controlled by Him. So then it's a challenge thing. It's not just simply walking into the elevator. But I told you a story last week about the old lady walking in the elevator, and then the young lady came out, and the old man said, "Whoo, get your grandma."
Yeah.
No, it's not that kind of change. You don't go into the booth and come out different. Right? It's a metamorphosis. It's a change that takes place. So now it's a challenge thing. So you and I are challenged to agree with Him and do the things that are necessary in order to become who He's called us to be. We're going to put off something.
Mm-hmm.
And put in something. That was a profound statement. So then put on something. Okay? What you put on is the fact that you're putting on the garment that He has prepared, that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but there's no better clothing that you can wear than that.
Amen. He's going to fall forever.
Next week, we're going to put a bow on this series. And we're going to look back again at where we started with those verses. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me. And then travailing in childbirth, Christ is formed. And my prayer is going to be a practical illustration of what it means to be transformed, to live from the inside out. Amen? If you're not going to be here, God willing, it'll be up on podcast.
Really?
Yeah, we have podcasts now and all that stuff.
You got to get past the beginning. If there's people.
Well, that's another story. Okay. You'll understand. Well, it'll be on the beginning. Okay? So everybody say yay.
Yay.
Invite you to stand. Listen, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you cannot even begin the process that we're talking about. Because you're not in Him. So that's first. You get that right. Okay? You get that right. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to have a quick invitation here. If you need to be saved, step out from where you are. Okay? In other words, turn everything you understand of yourself over to everything you understand of Him. If you do not know Him, then you are lost in self, and you cannot find peace, you cannot find the way to heaven, you cannot find salvation apart from Christ. And you surrender yourself to Him, and He will bring you new life. If you do that, God will make a difference. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Right, now secondly, if you're here today and you're like me, and this is a whole time struggle, you just want to say, "Lord, please help me to get off the old put in the reality of who you are, and put on the garment that you provide in your righteousness. And you do business with the Lord right now. Or if you need to come to the altar,
you have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also like us on Facebook at Grace Point Church SC, follow us on Twitter at Grace Point SC, Instagram, Grace Point Simpsonville, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to Pastor Ben's other sermons on YouTube or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.